I want to take up that point and perhaps look again at Burial at Thebes in terms of the poetic traditions that you're drawing on. Because one of the things I think you said that you had done in Burial was actually draw on a tradition of Irish lament, you know, the lament for Art O'Leary. I won't attempt to pronounce it.
You know, right.
How important for you is the classical ground, as it were, as a way of actually bringing together a number of elements that make up your personal background and interests as a poet in terms of literary tradition as well as of religious and mythological significance?
Well, I think your question actually puts it very clearly, because I had never thought of that, but it is true. It's true enough. There is, when I think of the different nodal things in this booklet, it started off with that. There's nothing left, really, of the Kino Art O'Leary, as it was called, the Keening for Art O'Leary, Mogrago Dangan, who Lada Waka, who Kumti and Warigu, Hogmachri, Titan of Dit, dum bum 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 bum. Except the many quick come here, bum, 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 bum. I was able to get moving. I mean, that's very important, like the tuning fork that starts you going. So, if you like, there's nothing ethnic in the impulse there. There is something vestigial also of the Anglo-Saxon poetry in the first chorus, Glory, I've forgotten how it goes, but it certainly has strong stress and a good bit of alliteration. And I was thinking very consciously of Anglo-Saxon poetry and Beowulf. Glory be to brightness, to the gleaming sun, shining guardian of our seven gates, burn away the darkness, dawn on Thebes, dazzle the city you have saved from destruction. That and elsewhere in the choruses, there is that definite old English groundwork at work. And plenty of iambic pentameter swimming through it. So I didn't think of it as bringing those things together. I didn't set out to do that, but they are there, certainly.
And finally, obviously, I must ask you, are there any future plans to work again with classical material, either in your poetry or in drama?
No plans. Actually, I've gone in a completely different direction. I've been enjoying myself in a completely different way, doing something probably politically incorrect, that is turning late medieval Scots into kind of modern English. Chaucer was modernized up by Pope and Dryden, so that's my kind of headline. But there's a Scots poet called Robert Henryson, who flourished in the 15th century. He wrote a sequel to Chaucer's Troilus and Cressida, The Testament of Cressid. But he also wrote 13 moral fables, which are all about mice and frogs and toads and foxes and wolves and wily persons, and there's a moral in them all. They're kind of come down from Aesop, but they're written in this mixture of vernacular and elevated Scots diction, and they're all rhymed and rhyme royal, seven-line stanzas. So I've been doing that. It's a completely different kind of thing. And I just hope that sooner or later Billy Connolly might be able to speak them for me.
Well, we shall look forward to that. Seamus Heaney, thank you very much indeed.
Well, thank you. I was very grateful to be able to contribute to the Open University action after being awarded that degree in the 1980s. Thank you very much.